This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This message will self-destruct.
What time is it?
It's time to begin the football weekend.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and T-shirts.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
58! We're 58!
Monday!
Here we go!
Happy Football Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
How we doing? How we feeling?
Everybody get their candy hangover yesterday?
Yeah, lots
of candy.
Comas.
Oof. I actually didn't eat a single piece of candy yesterday.
Yeah, good job by you.
Thank you.
Well done. I had two mini Kit Kats. That was all I fished out of
two?
Two Kit Kats?
Kit Kats are underrated.
I love a good Kit Kat.
Kit Kats are underrated.
So good. Now, to be fair, I have been eating like 4 to 5 pieces of candy a day for like 3 weeks. But on Halloween night, I abstained last night.
So my dad came down about 2 weeks ago, and you know he's like, oh, I want to get the kids something. So we went to Costco, and him and my stepmom, they're like, what should we get him? And I said, we don't need anything.
No, don't need nothing.
And I said, why don't you just get this bag of candy? So they get a standard Costco bag of candy, which, by the way, I think everybody in my neighborhood bought the same bag. There was no unique.
Yeah.
Candy's given out. Everybody had the same candy from
same
everything.
Same common at Reese's, Kit Kat, yes. Twix, Snickers, you name it.
So they get the bag of candy. It's 100 pieces of candy, ooh, right? Little fun sizes of yes, peanut M&Ms, Snickers, Kit Kat, 100 grand
Milky
bar,
Ways.
Milky Way.
Oh, your go-to. It's a good bag.
Pretty good bag. And so we get this, and this is about a week and a half out of Halloween. And I'm okay putting a little bit of the fun sizes in a little bowl and let my kids grab one here and there, whatever. So yesterday I picked my daughter up from school. It's Halloween. The bag has been gone for 3 days.
Didn't quite make it.
And my daughter goes, well, we got to get another bowl of candy, a bag of candy, in case our full sizes get taken quickly.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, 2 boxes of full-size candy bars, quick review, mistake.
Bad idea?
I have an entire box untouched.
Really?
Yeah.
Not enough trick-or-treaters, or people just didn't want to grab the full size?
We didn't give certain tiny kids full-size bars, evidently. I didn't end up giving out candy much yesterday. My wife and my kids did.
They were giving it away.
And so they were
age
given like
discrimination.
Well, yeah, kind of. They were given the little-littles, like little tiny fun sizes.
No. Oh, you're screwed now. You got a full box of king-size candy bars in
your
house?
I don't know what to do with it. It's a problem.
Sitting there staring at you in the cupboard for the next 3 months.
So we had this 100 pieces of candy in my pantry. And like, I'm just being fully transparent here. I can't tell you how many days in a row I was going down and I was eating like 4 and 5 yeah, pieces.
They're just
of
sitting
this
there. They're just staring at you after dude, dinner. You're doing the dishes. It's like, it's right there on the counter. I might as well grab a couple.
I love a lot of candy, a lot. I will actually make an argument that the best fun size candy bar is 100 grand bar.
It's an underrated candy bar.
Not a full size.
No.
The fun size candy bars of all of them, the best one might be the 100 grand
bar. A little crispy crunchy in there.
Crispy crunchy, the caramel, it's the perfect amount. A little more, and I'd probably be too much caramel.
Yeah.
So my daughter goes, yeah, Dad, I hate to tell you, but I ate a lot of it. And I go, oh, no, you didn't. I did.
I ate half that bag.
She goes, what? I go, yeah. I was going down almost every night eating like 4 and 5 of these things.
Kids are in bed. I'm scrolling my phone, grabbing a couple of fun-sized candy bars.
Dad, she goes, I'm fat. I saw so many wrappers in the garbage, and I go, oh, my God, did I do this? And I'm like, nope, that was all me.
You're sleepwalking your way down and eating the candy. Come
so
on.
It made her feel better to hear that. But, yeah, so we had a bulk up on candy even more yesterday, and oh my God,
you're absolutely hosed for having king size candy bars. You were when having those in the house is dangerous. Fun size is one thing, even though you usually end up eating 2 full size candy bars based on the volume of fun size,
right?
But just having those, they're easier to snack on. You're just having those stare at you. Oh, it's not a good feeling.
I had a little bit of this, like I've been eating pretty well up until the candy started showing up, and then like yesterday. I kind of did like the processed meat stuff, the crackers and cheese. We did like the little trays, the little grab-and-goes.
Snacky food out.
And it wasn't so much a dinner we had. It was more like, oh, a little salami, cracker, cheese with
you're
also.
You're just grazing.
Yeah, a grazing.
Yeah.
My vegetable platter was terrible. I had one of those prearranged vegetable platters,
oh,
which
no.
was a mistake.
No, you got to do your own crudité spread.
Yeah, you're right. Because a carrot was sour.
That's not good.
So I spit it out. I didn't touch the rest of those vegetables.
I'm not eating any more carrots out of that thing right there.
I wouldn't touch a vegetable out of
now, that what's thing. The policy when the kids come home from trick-or-treating and they got their bags of candy? How much candy do you allow them to eat? What's the protocol there? Because you don't want to be the thief of joy. It's Halloween.
No,
it's candy time.
I don't know, 5 or 6. Pick out your 5 or 6 favorite. If they're the little ones, if you get, you know, the full size candy bars, then maybe 2.
Maybe 2.
But
I let them go to town.
You just let them eat as much as they want until their heart desire, or do you cut them off?
It's Willy Wonka at your house at that point until they blow up and explode.
A little bit, because like also my kids. They both, like, my oldest went to bed with a little bit of a stomach ache and went, yeah, you learned the hard way, didn't you?
You did one of those. Smoked the whole pack and pulled that card.
My youngest woke up when I woke up, and she wasn't tired, and she was like, my stomach kind of hurt yesterday.
It's old fashioned.
Yeah.
Parents find you sneaking a smoke in the backyard, and they just make you smoke 3 packs till you just
your entire heater.
Out.
You're gonna throw up, man. That's you learn your lesson the hard way.
Yeah, I didn't limit it.
The other good part about not limiting it, I feel like, is again, it's like if you only allow them to have 5 or 6 pieces of candy, and they have a decent haul from trick or treating. Now you got a whole bunch of extra candy in the house.
Yeah.
Because once you get through November 1st, there's not really a desire or push to ever go buy candy again. And so it's not really a part of your life. You don't have a bowl of candy. We don't, at least throughout the holidays.
We don't buy candy outside of
Halloween.
Maybe
get some Christmas cookies around the corner. Like that's looming for sure. But it's different than having a whole thing of candy. And if they eat all of it and go through it, they suffer the stomach ache. And you don't have the threat of having candy stare at you in the face every night.
You're going to experience this with Teddy. And I had this last year. Specifically, but I've had it every year with kids. The weird one is when you find the bag or the jack-o'-lantern Halloween bucket. When you find it in your kid's room and it's February 9th, and you go, throwing this out.
Yeah. No, don't. No, saving it for later.
It's from October. Yeah. What do you do? You don't want this.
No, it is time to
move
on.
You're going to chip 3 teeth on those Sour Patch Kids you haven't eaten for 4 months.
Yeah.
Bring that against the wood table. It sounds like a stick, man.
Now, I want to ask you this because you got Teddy Ballgame. How old's Teddy Ballgame now?
9 months old.
Teddy Ballgame. 9 months. Nobody tells you this going in, and it's not like you think about Halloween as like a major, major holiday, but what nobody tells you is the 9-month-old Halloween, outside of some cute photos, and there were some cute photos.
There's not much going on.
It sucks.
There's not much to do.
It's terrible.
And the weather was bad, too. It's one thing if the weather's nice and you can kind of carry him. We would have taken him to a couple of houses to go trick-or-treating
if
it was sunny out. We know some neighbors. We know some people. You know, like, all right, go say hi. Hey, look at that. He's wearing a costume. Ha ha. Well, okay, fine. I'll have his piece of candy.
Right.
Because he's not eating any candy.
Everybody's got to get up, go to work, go to school this morning.
No, school's out. Elementary school kids are out today.
No school
today?
Well,
that is an absolutely wise decision.
They got a 4-day weekend.
Especially elementary school.
Yeah. Kids have it so easy nowadays. What are we doing?
That's teachers stepping in, because the day after Halloween is one of the worst teaching days.
I agree.
Like, yeah. Like my dad always, he's like, if we could get an in-service day, I don't mind going to work.
That's the day to do
but
it.
But if I don't have to have kids the day after Halloween, if it's on a weekday.
We're debating letting my daughter skip her middle school, too, because I guess she's not feeling good, and she was asking. She said, all these kids are talking about skipping, and I said, well, what happens tomorrow? And she goes, well... what is it? Math. We're playing like a game.
Yeah, there's nothing serious going on.
No, and she just did
a movie's gonna get shown.
Yes, and so we're like, we'll see how you feel. Right. If you want to go, it's an easy fun day at school. So right. At least you have that.
Kind they either stayed up too late and they're half awake, or they're still like candied out, like the sugar coma is still in there, and their ability to pay attention is
very little.
I am excited because I felt we timed it well, ironically, of having the next, because by next Halloween he'll be almost two, so that like
that's
he'll be walking, he'll be have his little costume on,
he'll be
like,
waddling around.
Very excited about that, and the next two Halloweens we get on weekend nights, and so it's all like, all right, that's set. By the time we're actually able to go, like we did it till about 6 o'clock last night. We were down at my folks hanging out, saw the nieces and nephews, and we're like, all right, let's.
The only
home.
Thing that's gonna
I was in bed by
8:15,
dude. It was delightful. Yeah. I got a full night's sleep. I feel great today, man.
I had people at my house till 9:30.
Oh, God.
So
get them out, man. Get them out. I got to go to bed.
And I love these people, but I like in my head, I'm like, leave my house. I'm tired.
I'm going to sleep in 15 minutes.
I'm so tired right now.
Popping some melatonin and passing out on the couch.
No, I think it's going to line up really well for old Teddy ball game. The school thing, I was aware also, my kids pointed out that they call evidently, and maybe we did, and I don't remember this, they call it No School November. So my elementary school kid has a four-day weekend. My middle school kid has Monday off.
Do they get like a whole week now at Thanksgiving?
And then next Monday, they have it off for Veterans Day, I believe.
Okay, that tracks.
And then there's they call it fall break. So that's the Thanksgiving week.
So you get all week off.
Do they
off.
Get a whole week
they
off?
They get the whole week off.
Yeah, that
holy
we
hell.
Only,
I
we
kind
only
of agree
got
with that.
Thursday, Friday off.
Yeah, I agree with the whole week, though, because people want to travel. They want to see family.
You think kids in China are getting a full week off for Thanksgiving?
I think kids in China are miserable.
Probably.
And then December.
They don't get summers off.
You get winter break.
Yeah, then you go, and they'll got like 2 weeks in December until you get the end of the year off.
Yeah, so they're calling it No School November these
this
kids.
Was, I will never forget as a kid going to school, this was like, once you got through Halloween, that things heated up quickly. Because you're just excited. Christmas is around the corner. You get a lot of time off of school. You got winter break coming up. Like, November and December were two of the best school months of the year.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's lax. It's low-key. You're into all of your classes. You've had big tests usually by now. It's like, all right, now we're just chilling until January 1st, and then everything will start anew again.
Yeah. Well, Teddy ballgame looked adorable.
He was bluey last night.
Yep.
He was
a little bluey.
You made him a girl.
No, we made him a girl.
Made him a girl.
Very 2024 of us, man.
Identify they.
It's the only TV show he actually enjoys.
It's such a good. It's a good show though. It's actually not bad.
I turn it on my own sometimes. I'm not gonna lie.
It's 8-minute episodes.
It's just perfect background noise. There's nothing on in the middle of the day. The theme song's delightful.
It's the Australian version of OPB too.
Occasionally, I cry at the end of an episode because it's something emotional happening, and I'm like, oh, I remember that.
Well, they never grow out of it.
Swag, did you have? Let me ask you this because I hate admitting this. I'm almost 40. There was an episode. Not a single thing is said almost in the entire episode. It's like a 9-minute episode of Bluey, and it's like a dream sequence episode. And it like made me emotional.
Oh yes, I know the episode you're talking
about.
And
it's one of the kids is going in and out of these sequences where it's like mom and dad are my life, and now I'm separating from mom and dad,
sleeping in my own room, and now I'm by myself.
It's I know it sounds so cheesy and damn corny, but it made me emotional. Do you have any show for old Junior that he watched that you were like, God, I hate to admit this, but this show gets me?
I don't think so. He was.
I feel like kids programming has come a long way.
Probably, yes.
From when we were kids.
Yeah, because what was it for
he
me? It was Sesame Street.
He didn't latch
Street,
on to shows. The only show he watched for quite a while was SpongeBob.
He liked SpongeBob.
LA Times did a story on SpongeBob, statistically made kids dumber watching that show.
Not ideal to watch that
Thank
show.
Thank God your kid wasn't impacted.
Yeah. He graduated college. You didn't have to worry about that.
Oh, I did embarrass my family yesterday. There were three teenagers that came up dressed as SpongeBob characters.
Okay.
And they came up and they were the inflatable costumes.
Gotcha.
So like, you can never tell how hard that is to walk in. Patrick was the last one to get a full-size candy bar, and I did a Patrick, hey, Patrick, and my whole family, oh, God,
Dad.
Good costume, Patrick. Good job.
Dad, you're embarrassing me.
Good luck. Hey, SpongeBob. And the teenagers are awkward. You could tell they felt
like laughing, but not laughing. All right, this old guy's making weird jokes right now and a scary mask. I'm getting the hell out of here.
I did scare the hell out of a kid in my clown costume, taking my kid trick-or-treating on my jacket, and I had the full wig with the clown mask.
Yeah, that was...
Your mask was a thing. It was a scary clown mask last night.
It was the second mask I wore during the night. I kept changing outfits.
You know, wardrobe change halfway through.
Yeah.
You're like a Taylor Swift concert at Halloween, man. You got your first routine, and then you got to go change it up.
Halloween is ridiculous. Yeah. We are too old to be dressing up, but I love it. It's once a year. Whatever.
It was fun. The only bummer was the weather, man. The weather absolutely blew last night. That was terrible.
Sometimes, though, as a teenager, you remember when you're 10, 11, 12, you're finally let to go out by yourself. You kind of earn your candy walking through that stuff.
You do a little bit. It was fun being with my niece who's in sixth grade, and I went over to their house and we were chatting and they got to see Teddy, and then they were going to go to Eastmoreland, which is the big thing to do in our neighborhood because they have king-size candy bars.
Yep.
And I remember watching the conversation between my brother and sister-in-law and her about, can I go to Eastmoreland by myself to trick-or-treat?
Oh, there you go.
And remembering, I think the first time that I went by myself trick-or-treating was in sixth grade in Eastmoreland, and watching that full circle was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I don't think she ended up going because of the weather, and they're like, we don't want to go walk around for that long, so they stayed in the neighborhood. But you're always trying to find your way out of the nest out on your own to go find your candy
bars. First time alone is can't beat that.
It's a big deal, man.
It is a Spring in Line Friday, so get the Spring in Line sponsors in at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. We will get to that at 8:30. We have a special addition to the show that is back, which we will introduce to you again at 7:30. It is a loaded show. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going on 1080 The Fan.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Wow, already, huh? It's that time of year, huh?
That time of year. Go get your tree this weekend. I'm ready, man. Put that thing up. Put the lights up. Let's go.
God bless my wife who loves Halloween. It was a little bit of a not as much this year for some reasons, but my daughter on the way home yesterday says, Dad, don't tell Mom. I've been in Christmas mode.
Don't let her know.
I said, I won't say anything, but me too.
I'm there. I'm ready to go.
I said, let's just hold this in. Yes. We'll do Halloween super hard tonight. And then tomorrow we can super get into Christmas mode.
Come home, turn this on the speaker. Your wife's just going to get livid. What is going on? It is November 1st.
It's crazy. She tweeted out already this morning the video because she partners with these companies who just cash in on this song.
It's already out.
And she's like, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Are we flipping our station yet? Are we getting all the promos?
Probably.
We want to beat the other stations.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you should do it early.
We got to get ready to go. They got to start earlier and earlier and earlier every year.
Today would be
year.
The perfect day. It's a Friday.
Might as well roll it out going into the weekend.
Go.
Nobody needs 1980s hits. Let's get Mariah Carey and Frank Sinatra.
Tell you what, man.
And dogs barking jingle bells. That's what we need in our
lives.
Give
me some Bing.
Given what's happened Tuesday, I'm just going to get super weird. I don't know what. I'm about turkey and
I might
Christmas
spend
glasses.
My Tuesday decorating a Christmas tree, damn it, just to distract myself from everything going on in society.
Ugly sweater Tuesday.
That's right. Let's do that on the show. Try and cheer everybody up.
I'm going to be deep in Pilots opening game.
Oh, your balls deep in Pilots. Yeah. We know what you're doing.
He's all the way in on that.
Speaking of ugly, let's be honest here. How much of that football game did we consume?
None
More than I should have.
None of it.
I told you guys before the show, I think I watched 41%. I'm realizing that was a lie. I saw the first quarter, and that was largely it. I just kept tracking what the score was.
Yeah, I got home, and then I looked at to see, all right, what's the score? And by the time I like got settled from getting home, it was 21-10 with, like, I don't know, seven minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Well,
I'm getting ready for bed. I'm like, they're not coming back from that. This game's
first,
over.
The first half might have been the worst half of NFL football this season.
Debatably,
What short week, two scores? Bad football
Seven
teams.
7-zip Houston because the Jets receiver dropped
the ball. Yeah,
that's right.
That should be NFL teams. If you have a player at the NFL level that pulls that stunt,
cut him.
They should be able to get out of the contract without any penalties. I don't care what's guaranteed. That borders on complete incompetence, insubordination. Your job is to score points and win football games. And if you can't do that, you don't deserve to have an NFL contract.
I love that Rodgers throws three tuds and the Jets win, and suddenly it's shifting. Wait a minute.
Oh.
Cayenne pepper and water. Here we go.
Found it.
He was awful in the first half.
They're going to lose at Arizona next weekend.
Yeah, they will.
They should.
You don't trust them as far as you can throw them. The funny thing about the guy that dropped the ball to going into the end zone is that would have been his first career touchdown.
Yeah. What are you doing?
He's a rookie. It would have been his first career touchdown, and he dropped the ball.
If I'm a GM, I'm cutting that guy. I don't care what the coach says. He gone.
What do we I know that they're somewhat banged up, but much like Ohio State, I've kind of been noting this a little bit sprinkled in throughout shows. Houston's a weird team.
Very weird.
And yesterday we jokingly did the spread thing of like, why are they underdogs? Well, that's why. They are incredibly banged up. Their offensive line blows. Stroud is not having, I think, a pretty, you know, he's not having a stellar second season here.
He has multiple games under 200 passing yards and a game under 100 passing yards this year.
And not all of that is his fault.
Nope.
I do want to be fair on that. But, like, I don't know what to make of Houston. And it's not that they lost that game, but they haven't looked the part all year long, despite what their record is. What do you make of the Houston Texans?
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking last night, kind of going through the highlights before I went to bed, because I didn't watch a lot of this game. It looked ugly. I didn't really have any interest in watching the Jets until they have a pulse. I don't really care about watching them. The Texans, to me, are the bigger story out of this game. The Jets are almost eliminated in my mind. Texans came into the year with Super Bowl expectations, C.J. Stroud back for another year. Can they take that jump and be on the same par as Baltimore or Buffalo or Kansas City in the AFC? And I think the answer early in the year is no, they can't. They don't look that part. And every time we bring up, you know, Justin Herbert and talk about the way that he plays or his team losing, it's funny that you immediately get a flood of, like, stop making excuses for Justin Herbert. And I'm wondering if we're going to get that for C.J. Stroud, because he is getting the Justin Herbert treatment right now. His offensive line is terrible. He's been sacked 30 times this year.
What did he get sacked? Eight times last night.
The guy has no time to throw. If you've watched any Texans game this year, he's been under siege essentially every time he drops back to throw the football. And now, at the halfway point in the season, his number one wide receiver, how long has Nico Collins been out for? 3 weeks at least?
I think this was week four.
Week four,
he's
maybe.
Close to coming back.
So he'll be back eventually, but he's had to play a half of the season almost to this point without his number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And then the big offseason addition they made that was going to make them one of the best wide receiver rooms in the NFL is now out for the year. So who's his number one wide receiver? Tank Dell, who's his number two wide receiver? Robert Woods?
It might be Schultz.
Might be Schultz. Like, that's what you're dealing with. So you got a bad offensive line. You got your wide receiver position decimated by injuries, and this is what happens, man. Mm. Like, if your name isn't Patrick Mahomes, you don't have the number one defense in Kansas City, you're going to take your lumps and you're going to struggle. And so I came into this year a little bit questioning where Houston was going to go, just because I think it's tough for year two quarterbacks, and there's usually an adjustment by defenses. But if they can't find a way to protect him better, which I don't know why that all of a sudden would solve itself, Nico being back will help them a ton, sure. But with the offensive line that they have right now, I don't take them seriously as a playoff threat at all.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I think the tough thing in the AFC, aside from what the Chiefs are and have been,
like,
is...
I give you a Texans-Steelers playoff game. Are you taking that offensive front to block that defensive front?
No, I think Pitts. This was kind of my point, though, earlier in the week is... I think what you meant, maybe I didn't interpret this right in the moment, is that you don't think Pittsburgh could beat a Kansas City in the AFC title game. But
I don't view them as a contender. I think they can win a playoff game. I don't view them as an AFC, true AFC contender.
Well, how do you, this is the tough thing in the AFC. How do you parse out the AFC outside of Kansas City? Because you may like Buffalo, Buffalo's had some funkiness, including at Houston, right? And they were banged up in that game. But Allen was historically bad. Baltimore, they have these weeks where they look the part. And then they go to Cleveland. And they suck.
Yeah.
And they drop game-winning plays. And their offensive line struggles. How do you... I don't know how you separate in the AFC... outside of Kansas City.
I mean, the reality is nobody's going to be Kansas City. So
but
it's
like,
kind of a
moot
point.
Who's the second best team in the AFC?
To me right now, it's Buffalo.
Okay, but in 2 weeks, you could say a different team and I wouldn't be shocked.
Very well could. But I think I came into the year with two teams that I'm not going to overreact to in terms of a funky regular season loss. Now, if it happens continuously, your Baltimore example is valid. If they come out, who do they got this weekend?
Baltimore?
Yeah.
They're again.
They're a 9-point favorite.
The Broncos.
So if they come out and beat Denver by 14 points, you're going to be like,
which
all right.
They usually play really well against rookie quarterbacks.
They do, and it's a bounce-back effort, and they're at home, and last week was a bad game. They moved to 6-3 on the year. Like, I'm not batting an eye at that. They just have funky games every now and then, but I've also had a track record of them being one of the best teams in the AFC for the last however many years. And so I think there's more of a leniency with teams like that to say it's an 18-game regular season or 17-game regular season. Like, you're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have your bad moments. But I know there's an ultimate trust there. I didn't necessarily have that coming into the year with Houston because last year was great. They got blown out by Baltimore the divisional round. They needed to take a big step forward in order to get on that level, and they clearly have not done that.
I want to carry some NFL stuff over. Interesting slate, and I think you'd look at the slate and say terrible. And we've done this in college football, and college football delivers in those weeks of terrible. And so we also have a big matchup that I'm curious about. So we'll carry over some NFL talk coming up next. We will get into Oregon, Michigan. An aspect of the matchup that's very interesting for Dirt's Duckies. And then we will go through the slate of college football. Do we have a chaotic weekend ahead?
Mm.
It is a Sprague and Line Friday. So we'll Sprague the Line at 8:30. You can get all the picks to fade, as me and Dirt are terrible, though Dirt and Swag were 2-1 last weekend. So kudos to you bros.
Means I got a losing weekend inbound. That's been my year every year. One step forward, two steps back.
I'm barking. All bark.
All dogs today.
We're going dogs rest of the year.
I love it.
I'm done. I'm done with this, like, favorites. I love that favorite and that favorite.
Doggy Sprague, that's what they call you.
We're going doggy style at 8:30. We will get to the college football slate, NFL talk here. I have something I want to talk about that's a little Halloween related.
Ooh.
Coming up in the next segment.
I'm down.
I think Dirt saw this. I hope Dirt saw this. I hope you all saw this. We need to talk about it. Talking NFL, Houston could very well be in the AFC title game against Kansas City. I want to go back to a point you made on Baltimore, because I agree with you. You know I love Lamar Jackson, but I think what would leave you hesitant on Baltimore is exactly what you said. They just tend to have too many stupid games. Too many games that they go in and you go, that team is better than them. They are better than that team. And then they lose. And you go, what happened? How did the Raiders beat Baltimore?
Yeah, they got two of them this year, blowing a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter to the Raiders and losing to Jameis Winston.
Even if you put Adams back on the Raiders and they played Baltimore the next 3 weeks, how many of those games would the Raiders win?
They're winning all of them.
Right. So, like, I don't understand how it happens, which is why I give Pittsburgh a chance as long as they stay healthy. The NFL slate this weekend would not scream very exciting.
No.
Like, does Cowboys, Falcons do anything for you guys?
No, the Cowboys do nothing for me. They're not a serious team, and they shouldn't be taken as such.
I also find the Falcons to be a bit of a... I don't know if I'm excited to watch them. They have weapons. Kirkers is playing well. But they also have these lulls where they just look incompetent.
Yeah, this is where it's like, can you finally kick it into another gear? You have the NFC South by the balls.
Right.
That is your division to win.
Yes.
You just beat Tampa for the second time. But what did they do the week before they beat Tampa? They got blown out at home by the Seahawks.
Who was never close.
Looked like a terrible team the very next week. And so this is the idea of, can you finally string something together if you're Atlanta, or is this who you're going to be all year? You're going to be one forward, one backwards, and that's going to leave the NFC South in play for basically everybody.
I know you how you feel about Dolphins-Bills.
Yeah.
Raiders-Bengals doesn't, I think, jump out at people. And by the way, Joe Burrow, spare me the, I don't like Halloween. What do we even celebrate? I don't like to just dress up for no reason. I've seen your game fits. Yes, you do. You're a liar.
Loves wearing that ice,
You put frosted tips in your hair, and you wear vests with belly button t-shirts.
Smoking
you
at
love
Joe
to dress
Burrow.
Up. Get out of here. Nothing made me not like him more than that comment yesterday.
I mean, that shouldn't be a game, but the Raiders, the Bengals find a way to make games that shouldn't be. Like, that's who they've been all year. Desperation mode for them. I know it's weird. They lost, losing last week at home to Philadelphia was not encouraging for them in their playoff hopes, but there's when you look at the bottom half of the AFC right now, man, if you're hovering around 500 with 7, 8, 9, 10 games to go, you're technically in the mix. You get that win, you're within a game of 500. The ironic part of that, Cincinnati is yet to win a home game this year. They are 0-4 at home. They're 3-1 on the road.
Explain that.
Make that make sense. And they lost again last week at home to Philadelphia by multiple scores. You cannot lose that game if you're Cincinnati.
I'm going through the slate, and I know Packers Lions is the right answer of what's the best game on the slate.
Make a bet on Chargers Browns for me. I think that should be the punishment. Which side are you going there? Jameis Winston going to do it again? Do you trust the Chargers on the road? They're a road favorite in that game.
I think you can make a legitimate argument that if you took Lions Packers, which I'm pretty excited for.
That's the best game of the weekend.
We don't know if Love's playing. So
which would make it not the best game of the weekend.
Yay.
He's limited in practice so far. He's trying to do things with that groin injury.
But I think they're undefeated with Willis, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I believe they went 2-0 or 3-0 with Willis, at least 2-0.
I think you can make a real argument.
Question is, can Jacobs run and establish the run game?
Yes, he's like the second leading rusher in the NFL behind Derrick Henry. If you remove Lions Packers, I think you can make an absolute legitimate argument that Bears at Cardinals is the second best game of the season.
How dare you? How dare you?
I'm not kidding.
Throw that at me.
Rams Seahawks is probably going to be weird.
Nobody wants to watch the Seahawks right now. That team's terrible.
Maybe the
Niners.
Bucks, the
Niners Buccaneers could get crazy.
Niners are off.
Yeah, you mean Chiefs and Bucks? You think Monday Night Football?
Sorry, I scrolled into next week. Yes, Chiefs and Bucks on Monday night.
Yeah, but the Bucks don't have any wide receivers.
To keep everybody in the game.
The Bucks have who is he throwing to?
They don't have anybody to throw to anymore.
It's Kate Otten and Jalen McMillan.
I'm just saying, not having a great year. The Chiefs tend to keep everybody in the game, whether it's the offense sputtering or. The defense has been pretty solid.
Look, you're going to laugh in my face.
These are going to be some good games, by the way.
This is how the weekend usually goes.
Now, the one game that's going to suck is Titans-Patriots. That's not going to be entertaining.
Yeah, we should have to gamble that game, too, as punishment. Should Tennessee be favored by 3.5 over anybody right now in the NFL?
What are we doing?
You're going to laugh in my face, and that's totally fair, totally valid. It's not a great week in NFL football. If Jordan Love doesn't play, what an absolute bummer for that game. I know Malik Willis has won a couple. Don't see him beating the Lions, but maybe I end up being wrong on that. That's a fun NFC North divisional matchup.
Huge divisional matchup.
My second game of the weekend. You want to know my number two? I'll give you my number two.
Injected into
Broncos,
my veins.
Broncos-Ravens.
Get out of here. It's Broncos-Ravens. Ravens off of a funky loss that we just talked about. They're back at home. They should win that game.
Lamar Jackson has not practiced this week.
Hasn't practiced all week. The Broncos are 5-3. They're firmly in the playoff picture.
That's called load management.
Laugh all you want. They're firmly in the playoff picture at 5-3.
I'm not laughing at that.
Can he go win a game? Like, I don't think they're going to win. They're probably going to lose. They'll probably get blown out. But just from like a game of like, I'm curious to see how that goes, that's my number two.
It's an 8-point spread.
Here's
the
big
thing.
Number.
So Lamar, by all accounts that I've seen, he has not practiced. They are kind of calling this load management.
Well, they did for the first day, but then when he didn't practice on Thursday.
Are you worried about Lamar Jackson practicing at all during the week? Because I'm not.
No.
No, not necessarily, I think he was listed with a knee issue and a back issue.
It's called load management. And they just keep describing it.
Guy runs around a lot. He's having an MVP season. Let's keep him healthy.
Here's my only hang up. And I want you to keep me on this come Monday, because I could be way wrong on this. And I know Bronco fan will let me know it.
Oh, they'll let you know.
How did he look against the Seahawks?
Bo Nix, not great.
How did he
look
against...
But first career start. Like, give him a little benefit there.
How did he look against Pittsburgh?
He was dynamite against Pittsburgh.
How did he look against the Chargers most of the game?
He was great comeback kid. That's what we call him.
So, like, my thing isn't even just an anti-Bo Nix thing. I just, their wins, the Tampa win is certainly like...
That's the outlier.
Out, great job. I was way off on that. They have beaten nothing but garbage teams. And now you face Baltimore, whose quarterback got all week off, and they lost to the Browns. I'm just saying, you might think that's a good game. I'm not convinced won't be 27-6.
I've actually contemplated spreading the line on Baltimore, to be honest with you. I don't necessarily think it's going to be a good game. It's just like in terms of if you sell me the storylines going in, that one is it's not a great weekend of NFL football.
It's
Saints
not.
And Saints and Panthers going to do it for you. Jags and Eagles. Anybody watch Doug Peterson go back to Philly?
Commies, Giants.
Like, it is not a good weekend.
I can't believe Patriots-Titans is a real game that's going to happen this
weekend. I mean, they flexed Colts and Vikings into Sunday Night Football. That got flexed into Sunday Night Football.
Well, thank God Joe Flacco's going to start. You might get a game.
Yeah. Touche. Anthony Richardson making dumb decisions is more entertaining, to be fair. Him running around, tapping out. Like, that's Collins. We're talking about that. More entertaining.
Flacco with that offensive line blocking from last weekend against that Viking team. I don't know if that's a game.
Extended break for Minnesota, though. Yeah, they played on Thursday. They're well rested and
Vikings
ready to go.
Trying to avoid
they're pissed off. They lost two.
Angry Vikings coming into that game. You never want to deal with an angry Viking.
Yeah, I don't think you do. Flacco's dangerous, but man, I watched that Colts offensive line. Richardson was bad in that game. They also couldn't block for
him. They had a hard time protecting him.
It's just it's going to end up being a great weekend. The witching hour is probably going to be amazing.
They'll be nonsense.
It's not going to make any sense.
This is mostly a weekend about, or do we start to get a separation weekend, or is it more chaos in the NFL?
I think that's a fair point.
Like, go through all the games we talked about. Atlanta and Dallas, you're at home. Win that game. Take a stranglehold of the division.
Well,
Buffalo.
Stay tuned for the pressure cooker, because I got the teams I want to throw in that.
Buffalo at home against Miami. The division is, it's probably already over. It's over if you win that game. You're not losing the division. Bengals, are you a contender? Chargers, you're on the road. Can you stay above 500, or are you going to go back and forth all year?
I'm legitimately excited, and this is maybe the slate, but also, like, what's kind of looming for both? Bears at Cardinals is, like, hey.
I mean, you're not wrong there. You're not wrong.
They're 4-3 versus
watching the Bears' offense is mind-numbingly boring at times, though.
A lot
of
times.
Their offensive line is terrible.
Yes.
It's nothing against Caleb. He's going to get there eventually.
The Cardinals are in first place.
They're
4-4.
4-4 in first
what
place.
What a crappy division. My team sucks. The Seahawks are terrible.
They're bad.
The Rams might be getting their mojo back.
I might gamble on the Rams this weekend. On the road in Seattle. Stay tuned for 8:30.
Please, love. Please play.
Please. We need one game at least. This might be an afternoon slate, depending on what I end up gambling on, that gets the primary television, and then I got like Red Zone on a tablet or something.
I might start decorating during Sunday.
Start putting the stuff up.
Did you catch this from Halloween? I have a Halloween leftover that I need to throw to dirt, and we'll talk about this coming up next. We'll get into the Ducks coming up at 7 o'clock. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 1080 The Fan. There's an aspect of the Oregon-Michigan game that I want to talk about at the top of the hour.
We should have a listener text in. Say he's on his way. Detroit bound right now. Like, this sounds like a lot of Duck fans making this trip out.
Yeah, if you're a Michigan fan, like, swag may end up being a little right. I still disagree to the full extent. I think Michigan fans going to show up and be loud. It's Michigan. But I also think there's going to be more Michigan fans than they expect selling those ticks to Duck fans.
Very well could be. I got a couple of buddies that are going as well. The only PSA, if you're going, wear green. Don't wear yellow, because yellow's going to blend in with Michigan's yellow.
Yeah, that's
so
a good
wear
point.
Something that stands out, and green will do it in that stadium.
Halloween's not usually a holiday we have a lot of leftovers with. It's here. All right, we move on. It's turkey month, and then it's Christmas, and we move on to the holidays, right?
All the decorations coming down today.
I've been reading a lot of sports psychology books. It's a topic that's very interesting to me. I think it's a very underrated topic when we discuss athletes and coaches. And I've been reading about all these great coaches and reading these cool backstories of Bill Walsh. I don't know if I've shared this on here. Bill Walsh, at one point, it was his second year in San Francisco. He took over a very bad organization, and they got drubbed by Miami. And on the flight back to San Francisco, Bill Walsh legitimately was plotting what he was going to do, because he was expecting to be fired. And if not fired, he thought he was going to have to quit out of embarrassment. He didn't. He got it regrouped. They turned their season around, and then the next year they won the Super Bowl.
Rest is history.
So the rest is history, right? So there's all these great stories I'm reading about all-time legendary coaches. And never once in any of what I read, Dirt, was there a story of a legendary, iconic coach that famously was forced out and in a year off dated somebody 50 years younger than him and dressed as a fisherman, hooking his then girlfriend as a mermaid on the beach. Yeah. And yesterday, Bill Belichick took a photo.
This is why he's the GOAT.
With his 22-year-old girlfriend at a beach, and she's dressed as a mermaid in the ocean, and he is leaning over, pretending that he has caught a mermaid because he's a fisherman for Halloween. And I don't know if you've seen these images.
Oh, I've seen the images.
It is disturbing.
Yeah.
I'm also happy for him.
Good for Bill, dude.
I'm a little bothered by it, to be honest with you. I feel all kinds of ways about this, and I never thought I would see Bill Belichick doing this.
Did you see she had another one that went viral this week where she dressed up, I don't know if it was for a party or what, but earlier in the week for Halloween, she dressed up as him, wearing like that, the old Jets or, you know, I can't remember if it was Patriots or Jets, but basically a
ripped up hoodie,
a ripped up mock hoodie where the belly was showing in very short circuit. Maybe it was Giants Bill Belichick. Maybe that was the era she was going for, but like super short shorts and like a crop tank. And she dressed up as Bill Belichick for Halloween.
I'm asking sincerely.
Dude, good for Bill, man.
Do we need to investigate this good woman? Because I feel like she's taking advantage. I just read a story. There's
elder abuse. Is that where you're going?
There is a story. There's a WWE wrestler that is very attractive. I think she goes by the stage name of Bliss. There was a story of a man. There is an older gentleman. There is an investigation underway that somebody was pretending to be her and tricked this old man into the point where he has given away $1 million of his retirement.
Yeah, that's awful.
And his grandkids' college fund because he believed he was in a relationship with this wrestler.
Yeah, that's awful.
And now they're trying to investigate. And I'm asking sincerely, this woman is 22, 23 years old.
I mean, we know why she's in it. Of course we do.
She needs to be investigated.
See, here's the thing.
And also,
hold on.
He needs to be talked to.
Hold on.
Somebody needs to step in here.
Hold
this
on.
Is getting dangerous.
Hold on. Hold
Bill
on.
Bill Belichick is
Challenge
taking
flag.
This photo.
Challenge flag getting thrown here, okay? Challenge flag. Your original story, spot on. That person should be locked behind bars for the rest of their life. Like, that's inexcusable to take advantage of an old guy pretending, like catfishing an old guy online. That's horrendous behavior, and there should be no place for that
in
society.
There's a difference between catfishing online and in person. I'm
like
just
this,
asking.
Look, Bill Belichick's, his net worth is like $70 million, okay? His name is Bill Belichick.
He's got agents.
Super
he's
Bowl
got...
rings. Like, he knows, like, she knows what, we there's all know a, why this is a thing.
There's
okay?
a prenup
if this
it
is
gets
not
to that.
Bill Belichick, this is not a relationship. We all can acknowledge that.
Is this uncomfortable
however,
for anybody else?
However, he's at least getting something out of it. Like, we know why he, we know what he's getting out of it. We know what, this is a quid pro quo relationship. They're each getting something. She wants to get married and maybe get a slice of that pie. Bill Belichick.
He's getting a slice of pie, too.
Exactly. He's got a year off for the first. When was the last time Bill Belichick had time off?
I mean, almost never.
And now he looks so happy, man. He's on the coastline taking pictures with a 22-year-old smoke show as a girlfriend.
She's 24.
24.
He is 72.
I mean, it's weird. It's uncomfortable. I grant you that, but he's at least getting something out of it.
You. I don't know where you're going to be at this point in your life because we have an age gap here.
Yes.
I want you to hold that thought. If he has a daughter and she's 24 and that boyfriend is 72, we'll see how he feels about this. I get it. He's working out. I mean, I'm uncomfortable as a dad of two girls.
What's the net worth here? What are we talking? What kind of kickback are we getting
Dad,
here?
This is Bill.
We going
he's 20 years older than you.
Sit down and talk football with Bill Belichick at Thanksgiving? You kidding me? Dude, why didn't Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl? Let's go over that, Bill. What were you thinking? It'd be a great Thanksgiving dinner.
He's on a beach pretending to have hooked a mermaid.
That he is.
I understand.
This
that
man, I've liked I him on
Do
all
we think
shows.
He has had so much fun now, like in this lifestyle, that he'll go back to coaching?
I think he's out.
You think he's done?
I think she I has think convinced
he's
him
gotten
to
a taste
out.
Of it now, and he's like, I'm not going back to that grind.
Saban's
literally
more
and
likely
I agree with that.
To go back
yes.
than.
Really?
Yeah.
See, and I think Saban's the same way. I think Saban's loving game day and this kind of voice that he has, and I'd be shocked if he went back into coaching.
Have you seen that Miss Terry has the best pick percentage of all the guest yeah, pickers on yeah. game day so far?
I did see that.
You know Nick Saban loves that.
Nobody's oh, yeah. been able to topple the Miss no, Terry.
Nobody's no. beaten Miss Terry.
Since the Bama-Georgia game, and that was a long time ago.
I look.
Where are they this Saturday?
Penn State, Ohio State.
Yeah, Penn State, Ohio State. Both of them. Both of the yeah. pregame shows.
It's one of those weird dual yeah. pregames.
Where they got to pretend they're not both at the yes. same space, and they're
so
on like the opposite Penn sides.
Penn State, who's the guest picker.
Well, who's?
I think it got announced as the guy from Key and Peele. What's his name? I think he's a Penn State guy, and he's okay. portrayed not
Key
the scary guy.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Him. I think he's a Penn State alum.
Oh, okay.
because he showed up at their spring game a couple of years ago, and he did like a mock James Franklin because they kind of look alike.
Looks like him,
and
yeah,
he like ran out onto the field. It was like a jokey thing they did at their spring game. So I think he's the guest picker this week.
He's a comedy guy. He's also naturally a stage actor. If he doesn't drop a no comment or have somebody answer for him at some point, he has missed an opportunity.
Step away. Take a drink.
Let a mock SID guy come and be like, man, he will not talk about this.
We're not going to answer this game. We're not going to pick this game. Okay, we're going to take a breather here. We'll be back for the next game.
That for the Oregon-Michigan game?
Yeah, I'm not going to pick. I'm out. I'm not picking that game.
Belichick and the girlfriend thing, not disturb you guys, huh? I'm the only one?
I think you're the only one.
It's disturbing.
Because you're the only one with daughters. And if I have a daughter, I'll be in the same exact spot you will be. If I don't... Hey, good for Bill.
So
man.
Between 9 and 16 months is when you'll be in here with
good
me.
For Bill, man. Okay, good for Bill. Guys, right. Living the dream, dude.
Okay. You have another Teddy Ball game. You're never going to be in this. It's ridiculous. Loaded second hour of the program. This may help Oregon this weekend. I'll tell you what it is. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.